Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a
point of contention.
I also like to apologize for burning down our house when I was 7 years old. I don't remember ever apologizing for that, but.
Welcome to Point of Contention, 5 subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Happy winter. I'm Zach Harper, Jade Hoyt's producing. Coming up on the show, Lakers caper, trade deadline closing in, the Kyrie experience, Splash Bros, Circus 2022, and the big surprise. In this corner, let's get to our contestants from the softest streets of Longmeadow, Massachusetts. Celtics beat reporter and future author of the book, The Jaylen Brown Out. How many Brad Zarens does it take to screw in a light bulb? It's Jay, the kid, the god on Peloton, King. Jay, work with me here. I think you can sense a theme of the questions lately as Jade has been binging The Wire. You're walking down the road. You come to a fork in the road. To your left, Avon Barksdale Lane. To your right,
okay,
Stringer Bell Way. Ooh, which way do you go?
You just keep going straight. You don't go either way, because you need to mix both of them. You know, yeah. you need all their traits mixed in one person that's not going to get jealous, envious of each other, that's not going to steer astray when things go wrong. I'm going toward Marlowe Lane.
No, that's the most dangerous one. Marlowe Lane. No,
Marlowe Lane.
You clearly haven't gotten to the end of the show yet, huh?
Oh my God!
Oh, I've seen it all. What's my name?
How do you side with Marlo? I guess out of fear, maybe. All right, and then in this corner,
Marlo's that. First of all,
Marlo's the coldest dude in that show. Like
the Marlowe Lane, the ends one in death. It ends in death.
Yeah,
you die.
Yeah, it's a literal dead end. Like that's just how
that's
it works.
That's fine. You live as a king for a little while, and then
oh man, you live as a pawn under him. Man. That Marlowe Lane is. Oh, I don't know, man. All right, in this corner, Bay Area legend, author of 2 books about the Warriors, and the brand new book on sale now, makes a fantastic Valentine's Day gift for your loved one. Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed yes, NBA forever, the one and only Marcus Thompson, also a great President's Day gift. Marcus, The Wire reboot 2022, the road doth split for you too. Which way do you choose, Cedric Daniels Boulevard or James McNulty Lane?
Those are my options. I can't get Idris Elba.
I just read the script. I don't write it.
That is wild. First
I'm
off,
Ron Burgundy.
So who was it? As soon as you said
Cedric Daniels Cedric. Boulevard and James McNulty Lane.
I'm going
Daniels
down Carver
script.
Court.
What? This is not even fair. Can I at least get down Wendell Pierce Boulevard? I'm going Cedric Daniels, right? He at least ends up with, Yeah, I'm going. Daniel stood on principle. Where's my Lester Freeman alley or something like?
Well, at least it's not like you
love Lester
right?
Freeman, man.
Oh, Lester Freeman's the best, man.
You just want to be making your little figurines.
Bubbles Boulevard. You want to be Bubbles Boulevard?
The reason it has to be
I was Bubbles last time.
The reason it has to be McNulty versus Cedric there because there's that great point in season three where Cedric says, when we're done with this wire, you're done with this unit. Remember that?
I did it because it had to be done. Just like it had to be done 2 years ago when we were first detailed. Stringer was the target then. He's still the target now. Lieutenant, you know, as bosses go, you're better than most. And I know you went out of your way to get me off that boat. I know that. But now we're back on the right man.
Detective McNulty. When the cuffs go on Stringer, you need to find a new home.
But then it all turns back by the end. It's a great little parallel highway there.
I miss that show. I might have to go back and rewatch.
All right. That satisfies the banter part of the script. Point of the script right there. All right, Jade, start the clock. Take one. A Lakers caper. Get this guy out of here. I think Frank Costanza said that once.
Ono inawa shiyo. Which means this guy, this is not my kind of guy.
And from one Frank to another, Lakers head coach Frank Vogel is now sitting on that proverbial coach's hot seat. Who saw this coming? That's right, folks. Los Angeles Lakers coach Frank Vogel's job is in, quote, serious jeopardy, unquote. With the team 7th in the Western Conference in 44 games, sources told The Athletic the symmetry of it all. Plus, you see that goddamn Russell Westbrook dunk? Jay, play the tape.
Russ, throw it down! Throw it down, Russ! Down the middle he goes!
And then he gets a technical for taunting. I mean, he looked back at Rudy Gobert.
How's this for a gun to the head, guys? According to reports, Vogel is being evaluated on a game-to-game basis and is at risk of being fired if progress doesn't continue. Jade played that tape.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Sam Quinn of CBS said it's been a struggle for Vogel. He is attempting to coach a team that he doesn't exactly have. Ah, the Lakers. Everyone's favorite dysfunctional family. Stepbrothers Bron and Anthony Davis wandering through a season with half a team and a Russell Westbrook in tow. Marcus, we've all been waiting for this, and it's finally happening. Who's to blame? Who gets the blame game win here? Is it Jeannie Buss? Is it the front office? Hired gun Frank Vogel? Magic Johnson back on Twitter somehow involved? Kurt Rambis? Rob Pelinka? Who knows? What do you think the next Lakers move is?
It's going to be the coach. It's going to be getting a new coach.
It's got to be.
We've seen this movie before. Like, we know what it is. You know what would be epic poetic justice, right? They should go hire David Blatt. Like, what is he doing? Like, But at some point, it's got to go to the top, right? They, for good reasons, handed their franchise over to LeBron James, right? Mm-hmm. And it got them a title in the bubble. This is also what it got them.
Wow.
Right?
In the bubble qualifier. Look. Snuck that one in there, yeah.
That was a little asterisk-esque there.
Now it was in there. I mean, they won a title, but now this is the other part of it. Like, whoever signed off on that move to not get Buddy Hield and the pieces and literally put together a team is to blame. Right. And you could say that's LeBron, but it's whoever said we're going to do what LeBron says on every move. To me, that's the culprit. And that's higher than LeBron. Right. Like, this is the Lakers. This is the Cleveland Cavaliers. Right. This wasn't like some franchise where it's like, yo, we're nothing without LeBron. If anybody had the authority to say we appreciate you, Bron, we respect you, but we believe in this. Like, we're going to operate based on what we see, how to put a team together, and we're going to do it, they'd be in a better situation. And now they're just praying what they saw from Stanley Johnson is real, right? Like, now the whole thing comes down to, can Stanley Johnson carry the team, which, like, he was incredible against the Jazz, right?
Say
but
it was
like,
straight face.
This is where they are.
Just, Stanley Johnson like, catching strays here. Come
and
on,
it's because
man.
They turned down a trade that would have made the team better. So I don't know.
Right.
They're going to fire the coach. That's going to be the quick fix, right? Maybe they make a small move during the deadline, but they're not going to get much for a team that just lost by 40 to Denver, right? So these parts aren't exactly at the highest value right now. So
right.
The answer is to fire the coach and then hopefully Anthony Davis come back. LeBron's playing amazing. You salvage something out of it. But if he wasn't fired after they lost by 40 to Denver, I don't know what's going to do the trick.
Yeah, Jay, was it Mike Brown who showed up after he got fired at like Chick-fil-A and was just happy as hell?
Yeah, because he's getting $5 million
still
a year.
Getting his money,
yeah, exactly.
And just didn't
like
have
Mike,
to deal with it was by the Lakers.
Mike Brown
too.
Was getting paid by like three different organizations at one point.
And he was happy as hell.
Yeah.
Frank Vogel is going to show up at Chick-fil-A and he is going to have the biggest smile on his face. He's not going to have to think about trying to fit LeBron James and Russell Westbrook together. He's not going to have to worry about trying to make a defense when Carmelo Anthony and Malik Monk and Russell Westbrook are three of your rotation players. He's not going to have to worry about Anthony Davis, who just hasn't been as good even when healthy as he was 2 years ago. Frank Vogel is going to be the happiest man in the world the second they fire him. He's walking away with all his money. None of their problems are on him, zero of them. And you think back to how badly they botched this offseason. DeMar DeRozan has said he thought going to the Lakers was a done deal. Imagine how much different the Lakers would look with DeMar DeRozan. Imagine how much different they would look if they had just kept Alex Caruso, which was an absolute no-brainer for anyone else. Imagine what they would have been like if they hadn't sacrificed not just the money, but also most of their supporting cast to go get Russell Westbrook, who doesn't even fit well with their two best players. So they have botched that roster as badly as they could have, basically. LeBron James being as good as he is the only thing keeping them from being an absolute
you know, and even then, they're a losing team with him on the court.
What's crazy, though.
Like, that's the crazy thing, yeah.
Remember when Vogel was hired?
And he's been great,
remember when Vogel,
he's been great offensively.
When Vogel was hired, he was like co-coach. And then the other guy's like out already. Like, this will be the time
Jason
where it's
Kidd
like,
gone.
Yo, kid, yo, step in. Kid's like, yo, I'm out. I got Luka. And I
by
got
the way,
problems.
Jason Kidd's got the Mavericks as a top five.
Yes,
defense.
He's got. It's crazy. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So even their original plan is shot.
Meanwhile, Frank Vogel's like, hey, we got to put Malik Monk, Carmelo Anthony, and, you know, whatever's the ghost of DeAndre Jordan on the floor and piece together a defense. It's not going to happen. LeBron's playing help defense like Andrew Wiggins in Minnesota.
Because like, he's got to like, carry the offense. Bad. That's why. He's got to like carry
he shouldn't have. By the way, their offense sucks too. They're 23rd in offense. Like, none of it's working. None of it's working.
But none of it was ever going to work.
Did you see how it was?
Not this bad. Not this bad. Not this bad, man. It should not
it's
be
not Vogel,
500.
Though.
No, I agree.
It's not Vogel,
but they're going to fire him, and it's going to you. And you can't coach game to game. It can't be a game to game thing. You either have him as a coach or you don't. Fire him or don't.
How can you have it be game to game? Like, oh, if we lose to the Kings, then this guy's
ridiculous.
Not our guy. But if we beat the Kings by 17, it might be an extension.
It's ridiculous.
I just think it's wild that at any point, like, you've gotten to the point where this is a championship organization, and they're like, please, Malik Monk, save us. Like, please. It's like, are you kidding me? Like,
Calipari didn't even ask
him
to do that.
To try saving him, too.
All right. Maybe they'll make the play-in tournament. Speaking of, take two. As the play-in tournament killed the trade deadline on Tuesday's Tampering Podcast right here on the Athletic NBA Show, Fred Katz posed that very question. Jade. Play the tape.
Don't walk it back. Up our slack.
This is our rant.
I didn't walk it back. I'm not walking it back. I didn't even say it. Slater proclaimed it on my behalf. You know what? Screw it. The play-in is ruining the trade deadline. It is.
Bing bong.
It's
look. What are the Knicks going to do?
There
Fred?
Are so many buyers now. And Sam, I know this is your pet peeve, just putting teams cleanly in buyer or sellers and with no in between. But there are so many buyers now because of teams like the Kings, who are who are sitting at whatever they are, 16 and 27. I don't know. Josh Primo was like in 10th grade when I went into quarantine, so I don't know where anybody is.
Fred said there are simply too many teams in the mix now for the playoffs and not enough sellers. It's simple math. That said, excitement still prevails with Ben Simmons still waiting in the wings. The Jazz have reportedly been poking around the market of wing defenders. I don't know, maybe the Wizards and Bradley Beal decide something. De'Aaron Fox is being shopped around like crazy. Might be part of a Ben Simmons deal. Might be part of a Domantas Sabonis deal for all we know. There's so much speculation, so much innuendo. But that's the way we like it here on Point of Contention. Jay, as we move closer to February 10th, the deadline to make trades, who do you think will be the big domino to fall?
Ben Simmons has to be the big domino to fall. I think there's pressure on them to move him right away, because Joel Embiid is in his prime. Joel Embiid has been amazing. Joel Embiid needs more help.
Yeah.
And it's hard to justify to Joel Embiid. It's hard to justify to Doc Rivers having an all-star type sitting at home doing nothing. So Daryl Morey is going to talk a big game about how he doesn't need to do it right away. But I think they have to move Ben Simmons, and I think that's going to really start a domino effect where other teams get involved in trades.
What do you think that is? Do you think that's like Ben Simmons to Atlanta for John Collins? Is it like Ben Simmons to Sacramento for like a Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox deal? Like, what do you think that looks like?
It could be anything like that. Pascal Siakam is another name that I kind of like for both teams, just to switch things up a little bit. It won't be like a super duper star. Yeah. But somebody who will make a big difference in Philadelphia. Like, they're good.
They're good. And they've been good lately. And Joel Embiid's been amazing lately. I just want to let our listeners in Toronto know that was Jay King advocating for Ben Simmons being traded for Pascal Siakam, not Zach Harper and not Marcus Thompson.
Do you think they'll be mad at me or happy with me for that?
No, they'll be so mad at you for that. They don't want Ben Simmons. They love Pascal Siakam. He gave himself that stupid nickname. That I will say, Toronto fans. All right. Marcus, what do you think happens? Do you think we have an active trade deadline, or do you think that that this play-in tournament is killing it? Because I agree with Fred. I was saying this last year, like the play-in tournament really complicates things for the trade deadline. Marcus, you're muted. He's still muted. Leave all this in, Jay.
You gotta leave all this in. This is spectacular.
Marcus! What's happening? Just unmute yourself.
I can't. It's a bottom left corner.
Is your microphone muted? What's happening?
Remember last week when he texted us his wife was in trouble?
Oh my god, yeah. Oh, that's
when really it was
his Wi-Fi. Something's happened with my wife. Sorry,
watching the clock.
Yeah,
go get your perfectly healthy wife to help you with that.
He's totally frozen.
Pause the clock.
His Marcus, his, like, get out, get mouse back die. In. You ever get this where your mouse can't click anymore?
Can you
hear us?
Can you kick him out? Oh, he's frozen. Oh.
Wait.
Oh, he's the track man.
I figured this. How do you do it?
Get
don't, whatever you do, don't energy. Turn Bluetooth
this
off.
This is amazing. It's going to be every week.
Of incompetence.
I use my spare mouse when this happens.
This might be my favorite.
Oh, is that? It is the.
Try to click.
Don't fuck with a mouse.
Can you click in another app? Or is it every... Oh, there it is.
He looks so frustrated.
Tell you what, McNulty and Lieutenant Daniels would have been able to figure this shit out.
Yo, this it was like McNulty. Literally frozen. It wouldn't do anything. I'm like, are you kidding me?
He's back.
The Bluetooth ghost.
Marcus.
Yo, that was so frustrating. Like,
Jade, leave all this in. Marcus. Do you expect this to be an active trade deadline, or do you think the play-in tournament has killed this?
I'm frazzled by my mouse pad freezing. I'm like, I'm sitting here like I'm literally behind the glass. Like, I hear you, but I can't do anything. I actually agree. This is like basic supply and demand, right? Like, there's more buyers than there are sellers. But I do think Ben Simmons is a chip that might change some things. Where Ben Simmons goes has the potential to shift the market enough to where other teams feel like, all right, Like, maybe we don't have the chance, right?
Yeah.
Like, if Ben Simmons ends up in Memphis, now it's like, they're already a three seed and he kind of fits how they play. That's like okay, maybe so there are some teams like, maybe we are done, right? Like, maybe we need to cash it in. But it's simple economics, right? There are so many teams that feel like they're ready to buy that the price is too high on the players who are available. Like, that's where we are. And I'm okay with it, to be honest. It still creates a longer regular season. It still puts some juice towards the end. And trade deadlines are a bunch of speculation and Twitter talk anyway. Like, is it that great, actually? Is a hype trade deadline actually that fun? Maybe for Jay King, who gets information fed to him on a regular basis. But for those of us who have to fight for every morsel of info, we don't like it anyway.
Well, here's the thing. For someone who does a lot of like trade reactions on the deadline, someone wants the trade deadline to still be a big deal.
Yeah, you're like,
make sure we still got some need for that trade deadline content.
I really don't think that the play-in tournament changes anything. Like, if you're Portland, you're in 10th place right now.
But here's the thing, Jay.
You're not making decisions based on whether you're going to get a road play-in tournament game.
The Pelicans, no, the your Pelicans decision are 2.5 games out of the 10th spot. The Pelicans are in the mix.
That's not going to make them go all in to make
but
the
it might keep better them from, like, the playoffs, trading yeah, off from guys,
trade
right?
BI,
might,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you are in 10th, 11th, 12th place, whatever, and your goal is let's get into the play-in tournament, then you are so backwards to begin with. You are
but
just
they're in that
totally Sacramento screen. Kings are a backwards
but they're
organization.
In this position because they're backwards. That's why you're 12th. You're not gonna all of a sudden be this perfectly run.
I guess that is true. Like, the Knicks are sitting there in 11th and I'm saying, like, yeah, the Knicks need to be a competent organization, not really treat
but the
this
problem is the price is the problem is the price. It's not that players aren't moving. It's now, if you got BI, right, and teams want them, you're like, man, look, we could take the Lakers down, and that a playoff series would be great, right? Like, that would be great for us. Why would I sell him? Or if I'm gonna sell him, now the price is high. I think that's where it's getting weird. Like, even Ben, right? Like, the price is still insane. It's still too high. So this ain't nothing but the Bay Area. That's all. The NBA, the trade deadline is now the Bay, where everybody's having to overbid for mid talent. Like, seriously, if the Warriors wanted to trade Andrew Wiggins right now, they don't. They wouldn't. But that dude would have insane value right now, because there are 5-6 teams who could use an Andrew Wiggins. To me, that's what it does. Like, I bet you Harrison Barnes would have value right now. Like, there's a lot of players who would be good. Is this poetic justice? Is Zach Harper, who just killed me for my fading trackpad, is he now out of the mix? Hey, Zach, how you doing?
I'm the
Zach,
only
are
one,
you there?
The only one immune.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I actually think this is set up to be an active trade deadline. There are so many teams in need of a shakeup. You look at the Eastern Conference, you've got the Celtics know that they need to change up their supporting cast at least. The Hawks, Travis Schlenk has come out and said he's an idiot for bringing back everybody, basically.
That's my favorite soundbite of the season.
So you know he's going to come out and be on the lookout for moves. You've got the Lakers, who God knows they need to try to do something, maybe even move Westbrook. You've got the Kings, who are sitting there with too many guards and a roster that's not good enough. You've got just a whole bunch of teams, I think, that are, and then you've got Ben Simmons, you've got Damian Lillard, you've got CJ McCollum, all these guys. So I think this is going to be an active trade deadline. I think there's a chance a lot of guys get moved. Cleveland, they've got Sexton and Ricky Rubio as salary to look for upgrades. So
man, I want Buddy Hield to end up in Cleveland so bad. I think that would be such a great pickup for them.
That would be. That would be. Yeah. Yeah. Because
all I'm saying is the Kings are like two games out of the 9 seed, and
exactly
this is the See? Year. This
it's
is
screwed
the year.
Up. See, you this tell me the year. Point. Yeah, That's the Kings should be feeling like, no, we're out.
No, man, we got a shot, man. Hope. Exactly. Kings are looking like, man, the Timberwolves are the 7th seed. We can catch them.
How about this first segue, guys? Kings feel like they have a shot. You know who hasn't gotten a shot? Take three, the Kyrie Irving experience.
Well done.
At the time of this recording, it has been exactly 2 weeks since Kyrie Irving made his part-time debut for the Nets. He has played in 4 of the Nets games since then and has shown little to no rust after missing the first 41 games. For those not up to speed, let me break it down for you. Kyrie is ineligible to play at home because of a New York City vaccine mandate. But things changed earlier this week when Kevin Durant went down with a knee injury. He'll be out 4 to 6 weeks as that knee sprain heals. As a result, Irving was pressed in a post-game interview about his vaccination status. Jade, play that tape.
What I'm trying to better articulate is that I'm not bringing science into the basketball game. You know what I mean? I'm not bringing what's going, like, everyone's feeling what's going on in the real world. I'm walking around as an unvaccinated person, sort of saying I've already been separated into another group of a community. I'm just saying to everybody, I'm human. I have decisions to make. I have a family to take care of. There are things that are just as important to me as being great at a game of basketball or, you know, leaving a legacy. So I think to answer your question is, it's just the reality of where the world is in the present state. You know, you see that there are more boosters and there are people getting fired for being unvaccinated. We're all dealing with it. We're all feeling it. My message has always been, I respect what everyone else is doing with their bodies. I respect what everyone else is doing in terms of their livelihoods, and I'm here to support. But what's going on with me is I'm taking it one day at a time. That's it. Nothing's guaranteed in this world right now.
All that aside, we've only gotten to see the Nets' big three, Durant, Harden, Kyrie, play together in 16 games out of a possible 114. We did get to see it briefly last week when the Nets routed the East leading Bulls, making them 13-3 when all three are in the lineup together. Marcus, Vegas has this Nets team as the team winning it all. Seeing how Kyrie is playing now and assuming health falls their way, is there any way this team doesn't take the title in June? And your thoughts on what we've seen from Kyrie so far?
Yeah, I think there's a way, but I do like their chances. I feel like Milwaukee is a sleeping giant. Like, that team is pretty good. They're not even playing with Drew right now. Like, and they've got a championship swagger, right? They've got this, all right, we'll take you down. Giannis made 17 straight free throws, yo. It's getting wild in Milwaukee and nobody's paying attention, and I think that's good for them. They don't like it. Everybody presumes KD still had a 17.
They have a championship and a chip on their shoulder because the Nets are still the favorites.
They love to play the card of, like, no one pays attention.
They love
to
us, it.
They don't want people. Yeah, they don't want people.
They want people to keep saying they were a 17 size shoe from being. Like, they want you to keep saying that, right? Bobby Portis is playing out of his mind. So I do think. Yeah. I do think Milwaukee is a problem, fully healthy or not. Not to mention, the home game might be the game 7 in that series might be in a game Kyrie can't play in, right? So
that's so amazing.
That's so wild, right? But
ridiculous,
man. It's crazy how good Kyrie looks after this dude hadn't played forever. Like, it's crazy
really
how seamless it is
after a year, and is just doing all the same old stuff. Just his skills are as sharp as ever. The Nets are the biggest experiment in just how much top end talent matters, because nobody has as much top end talent as they do, but they're never going to be able to play together. They're not going to be able to, you know, go through what lineups work, what rotations work. Now that Durant has been out, now that Kyrie has said he's not getting vaccinated no matter what, they are going to basically not have their big three play together the entire season and just show up in the playoffs and hope it works. And maybe it will, but...
Well, Kevin Durant's that good, right?
It might work, but it's just... It really is an experiment in just how much the top-end talent matters, because they don't have a ton of defensive talent. They are going to have zero continuity whatsoever, and they're going to be facing, like Marcus said, a Bucks team that is not only really talented, but has maybe the best player in that series, and... They've been doing this for years. Like they've been working on the continuity factor that could come into play when it matters.
I just want to recognize the blatant disrespect for culture. Okay, guys talk about the big bad.
Oh, the Heat too. The Heat are in that conversation.
Yeah,
as well.
The Heat too. Turn the Heat. The Heat's not just under Frank Vogel's coaching seat. Okay, the Heat is all over the Eastern Conference. It's getting too hot for everybody out there that's not in Miami. This Heat team will burn you. Omer Yurtseven, Caleb Martin, remember him?
Hey, can he be on the market? Yurtseven, can he be on the market? Like, what's he going for now if they put him out there?
How do you think they're going to battle the big Cleveland lineup? Okay, you got to have Yurtseven and Bam Adebayo out there. They're doing all this without Bam.
Bam looked good. Bam came back and looked good.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, what is with these dudes coming back looking great, right? Like, I was like, hey, Bam, let's go. You almost forgot about him.
Spoelstra's done an unbelievable job. That team.
Yeah.
I didn't think they had any depth in the first place. Now they're trotting out Caleb Martin, Yurtseven, Max Strus been great.
Yeah.
They just developed guys. Yeah. Duncan Robinson, they developed a couple years ago into a really good player.
Duncan Robinson's been a fraud all year, and it hasn't mattered. It hasn't hurt them.
They played the Warriors, and Steve Kerr was like, this is the greatest job I've ever seen. Like, what he's done. Like, Steve Kerr, I mean, obviously, Spoelstra's his guy, right? He's on Team USA together. But he literally is like, they have nobody, right? And then Butler, that's the game Butler hurt his ankle. And he's like, this is unbelievable. Like,
they're still coming at
crazy.
You.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And hey, they're still not better than the Bucks.
Dangerous
though.
Playoffs, too. Because they still got Butler, Lowry, Bam, all those guys.
PJ.
And now they're deeper. Because Spoelstra's a wizard.
Tyler Hero no longer sucks, which is good. You know, maybe he's just going to be an every other year kind of thing. So maybe next year, don't invest in Tyler Hero.
Maybe.
But the year after, contract year. All right. Speaking of the Warriors, time for take four. The Splash Bros are splashing once again. Klay Thompson, 21 points. As the Warriors routed James Edwards III's Detroit Pistons. I can't remember what award, but some Michigan Writer of the Year award winner.
He's a fraud. He tied. He tied for the award. Yeah.
Wait a second.
He's a fraud.
What do you mean James tied?
He tied.
Hey, relax.
They should have to play for it.
You can't even get the solo.
You
got
to shoot for it to play for it. Oh, my God.
Relax.
That is disappointing. Well, the night was filled with flashes of vintage Splash Brothers. Just what the team needs heading down the stretch and into the playoffs. It's the first time Klay Thompson topped the team in scoring since posting 30 points in game 6 of the 2019 finals. Is that right?
Yes.
30 points that night? Goodness.
In the third quarter, also, by the way.
Yeah, it was also his highest scoring performance so far in his return and best field goal percentage, 46.2%. He is shooting 35.7% from 3 in 5 games since returning from a 941-day hiatus. But Klay said after the game, quote, "I don't care if I miss 100 shots in a row. I'm never going to stop shooting the ball. Tattoo that on my eyelids." Absolutely, Klay. That is what you need to do. Jay, from one of the best teams in the East to one of the best teams in the West, how great would a Nets-Warriors finals be? And is Klay the key to getting them there?
Klay is a key to getting them there. Him coming back and looking as good as he has is definitely promising. And yeah, that would be an awesome series. Just Kevin Durant against those guys would be spectacular theater. Kyrie wouldn't be able to play in that series, though, right?
He can't play in that series.
No, No, can't you as a visiting person?
Oh, as a visit, that's right. You can. San Francisco, as a visiting, you can. Yeah,
they've got that weird rule. So
he'd still be able to play the road games in that series.
Yeah. So half the time, make sure to get the concert quarantine or something, right?
Like, yeah.
Half the time, that'd be fun. The more I think about it, the Nets are just so strange. It's just bizarre. But yeah, Klay changes things for the Warriors, and he changes things for Steph. You know, Steph has hit kind of a weird rut for him. He hasn't been himself, but Klay is going to open things up. It hasn't happened instantly, but once Klay gets out there, once Draymond gets out there, everything for Steph opens up. And I think the ease of the buckets is just going to be what changes the most with Klay and all the attention he warrants. And then they need Draymond back. We still haven't seen them all together with Draymond and those guys. And Draymond means everything to them, really, on both ends of the court. His offensive impact isn't discussed nearly enough for how much pressure he takes off Steph, because when you double, it's just like a fast break for Draymond, and he always makes the right decision.
Yeah, Marcus, you've seen Klay. I feel like the game against the Pistons was the first time where Klay looked like, at least from like a style of play, like I feel like he's been trying to do so much off the dribble, and it seemed like against the Pistons, maybe because it's the Pistons, like he was just like, I'll just spot up. Yeah,
it's this is such a weird dynamic developing, because Klay, it's like he wasn't alive during the 2.5 years he was off. He was like frozen in a freezer somewhere, right? So he still feels like he's the dude who was dropping 30 on the Raptors in game 6. So Klay, like his usage rate is like 34 or so, right? Like Klay's out here like,
he's getting
what offense?
Up.
He's like, what offense?
I've right? been waiting for this for so long.
Oh yeah. My God. So it's kind of weird. Like,
we're gonna pull the Klay mask off, and it's gonna be Dion Waiters under there.
Exactly, like, right? That's who he's become, because he's doing a lot of dribbling, it's a lot of ISO. He's playing a lot of bully ball, like he's trying to get his shoulder into people. But against the Pistons, and I that's why I kind of pumped it a little bit. The Pistons are either getting blown out or they're like upsetting somebody. This was clearly a bad Pistons team, right? They weren't playing any defense at all.
You're down like 38 at the half. It was done. Yeah,
it's like, all right, you're gonna get Spencer's, but it was the first time that he was the finisher on offense, where it was like, you know, we're moving the ball and Klay is the guy on the other end to finish it, where he's been a lot more of a creator. And they've got this weird space where Klay can do no wrong, right? No matter what, like, Klay, just get yourself back, whatever you do. But at some point, he's going to have to fold into the offense. And that dude, he's not doing it right now. He's just like, hey, man, no. I just need to feel. You know what he's like? He's like Halle Berry in a, what's the movie? With the movie with Billy Bob Thornton, where she pull her boob out.
Monsters
was like, make
Ball?
Me feel good, right?
This is Klay, not where I thought
Klay
this was
just
going.
Like, yo, make Klay just do whatever you take to feel good. You've had 2.5 years. Shoot all you want to shoot. Don't worry about passing, whatever. Just feel good. Just feel like basketball is yours again. When they get past the make me feel good stage, then he's going to have to be part of the offense. And then I think you'll see a difference.
That was wildly upsetting.
Cool. You said Catwoman? Did anybody ever
wildly
watch that?
I've seen it a couple of times. I actually have a Cinephobe episode on Catwoman.
Of course you saw it. I'm just saying, that was the epic moment in movie history. You know,
for sure. I just kind of wish
like
we had left that to Halle.
She kind of won an Oscar for that scene, right? Like,
I don't know about for that scene, but she definitely did win an Oscar for that movie.
I'm going to take us back to basketball, because
please,
it's kind of funny, because when I think of Klay, like, he should be supremely easy to fit in, because he's not a guy who dribbles a lot. He's not a guy who has the ball a lot. But when you think about all the changes they're going to have to make, like, it's going to impact Jordan Poole, who had been starting.
Already is, yep.
Yeah, it's going to impact Andrew Wiggins, who won't get as many touches to have his rhythm. It's going to impact a lot of different guys. So as seamless as it feels like it should be, because of just how low maintenance of a star Klay Thompson is, there's a lot that's going to have to change in that little Warriors ecosystem.
He ain't low maintenance right now.
I feel like he's going to drop 50 in the next like 2 weeks.
And until he does
he's
going to
have a crazy game.
He's definitely going to have that.
He's going to have like 35 at halftime, and he's going to be arguing to play more minutes than they're going to allow him to play.
Oh, yeah. He's going to get the minutes restriction off me.
This is funny, Zach. So he hits, you know, the three at the end of the buzzer of a 30-point game against the Pistons. He hits it like, you know, it's very Warriors, very Steph Clay, fake step left, hits the three. He walked all the way to the other end of the court. Just give him the praise.
Like, absolutely.
Like, against the Pistons in a 30-point win at halftime, he's like, all the way to the other end. 941 days,
you get to do all
and
that stuff.
And everybody's like, yeah, do it all, Clay. That's the move. Everybody, absolutely, Clay, get all that love. Every time he does anything, he's turning to the crowd like, yo, I missed this.
Oh, you
like,
got
to
soak it in, man. Yes, absolutely.
He has 69 shot attempts in 105 minutes so far, which is just
good Lord, that's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. He's like up there with Joel Embiid for usage rate. Yeah. Like, So they'll just have to live with it for a while. Keep going, Clay. All right.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started. Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife, Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Take five, the big surprise. We're officially at the halfway point of the NBA season. Last week, we focused on the big disappointments thus far. And this week, we look at some of the pleasant developments ongoing. How about LaMelo Ball and the Charlotte Hornets, poised to make the playoffs for the first time in 6 years? We all know about what the Bulls have done, the Warriors, of course, the Cavs, anybody? Obviously, the Grizzlies are in the mix. Marcus, player, team, coach, whatever, what's your big positive surprise thus far in the 2021-2022 season?
The one I told you about and you were hating, you specifically, the Chicago Bulls, baby. So I told you this is the biggest surprise when he predicted it to begin with.
Right. Yeah. So that doesn't make any sense.
No, you just said the great story, right? Like,
what's your big surprise thus far?
That the Heat are good. The Heat are number two. No, just
yeah, you're just trying to piss me off.
All right, I'm actually this is positive, right? Okay, so I'm going with the Grizzlies. They've made the jump, right? And it feels like they're a player away. But, like, if you just watch them play, they're not afraid of anybody. And they've got a bit of dog on them defensively. They can dog it, right? They do go through stretches though, where they don't play defense, right? They do kind of get out of themselves. But when they're locked in, and it's usually because Ja was talking trash, and now they got to be like, all right, let's go. But they like, so they haven't gotten to the point where it's just nightly. But when they lock in, they are tough. To me, them being a three seed is wild.
Steven Adams walking Tony Bradley, 30 feet, was amazing.
Ja being a competitive maniac is one of my favorite subplots of the season. Like, he's yelling at little kids on the side of the
He said a 9-year-old was disrespectful for wearing a Curry jersey. Yes. Kid's nine.
He's yelling at little kids. He's telling his teammates, "I can fight after Steven Adams breaks it up."
That was great.
Like, John Morant does not just have a little dog in him.
They beat the Warriors, and he went on Twitter and was like, "I bet y'all respect us now." Yeah, that dude. I love this dude, man. Like,
he's great. He is wound up. And it's like he just blacks out when he's in the middle of competition. He almost has, like, and I do not say this lightly at all. There's like a little bit of Kevin Garnett.
Oh, like, okay. Just I like
nut
that.
Job to him. And I don't say that lightly at all, because Kevin Garnett was like one of the craziest competitive weirdos of all
time. No question, right? Yeah. And backed it up, Jay, though. That's the key.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jay, who's your big surprise?
My big surprise is the Cavs. Like, these dudes are starting Lowry Markkanen at small forward. Before the season, I thought there would be zero chance that would work. I thought they were destined for a 20-62 finish. I thought they would be lottery garbage yet again. Mm. Yeah. And they're really freaking good. Like,
yeah,
they could win a playoff series. They don't have enough shot making to really compete deep in the playoffs, but their defense is great. Mobley is just a game changer for that entire franchise. Darius Garland has more game than I realized, and everyone's just bought in. Like, they've lost Sexton. They've lost Ricky
Rubio. Sexton is gone, right?
Yeah.
And Sexton's gone. Rubio's gone.
Like, and they just keep on plugging away. They just keep on doing it. So
just throw Dean Wade in the mix and, like, all right, go do
maybe
something.
Maybe I'm dumb for not seeing that vision in the first place, but no, I don't think anyone.
No, you're not. Like, they're starting 3 7-footers.
I'll take any chance
to make fun of you, Jay.
What's wrong with you?
There was no scene this working. There was no scene.
It couldn't have possibly worked, but JB Bickerstaff. He's making it work. He really is it work.
I'm going to say Dallas being a top 5 defense. That is a pleasant surprise. I know we mentioned it earlier in the show, but I just never saw that group competing this way defensively. To where, like, you're waiting for Luka to pick it up on offense so that their offense can start catching up to the defense. Like, I never saw that happening this year.
They allow 102.7 points per game. Like, that's Dallas. Dallas is the team you go get your 50 on, right? Like, you go drop. Right. It's where Kelly Oubre was struggling and he dropped 40 on Dallas. Like, and now they're allowing 102 points a game. Yeah.
The idea that you can't score on Marquese Chris and Maxi Kleber is insane, but they're making it work.
And Jason Kidd's defenses had always finished pretty bad, if I'm not mistaken. Like, He'd had a lot of bad finishes in defensive efficiency. He came in and overhauled. They have the same roster, too. It's not like they made crazy changes. I mean, Reggie Bullock and stuff, but not like they made, like, super significant changes. I would have given him credit for that, but their offense has just gone the other way. So I couldn't include them in my top surprise, because it's like they're just kind of neutral overall.
Well, I'm just going to throw it into the defensive aspect of it, because I never saw that team competing defensively the way they have. Although, you know, actually, I'm looking at, well, no.
I mean, he did slow them down, right? Like, that's part of it.
But also, like, that can also leave it open to where, you know, you're going to leave yourself open to not being able to make up for as many mistakes. You know,
are we surprised that a player from the 90s did it? Like, this is the same Mark Jackson. We're going to slow it down. We're going to pack the paint. And we go, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a good defensive strategy, like, especially for a team with not great defenders. Like, it works. It's the way you make guys who can't defend in space by themselves, it's the way you make it better, right? And then you got a couple of guys like Dorian Finney-Smith and Dwight Powell who can just apply pressure, guard multiple guys, switch a lot. Like, it's a working formula. Like,
Jalen Brunson's a pest, right? Yeah, no, like, question, I don't know that he's a good defender, but he's a pest that, like, disrupts a lot.
And then you get to the playoffs and you have a really good defense and you have Luka. Like, who knows what could happen?
It's a good formula, man. Like, it really works. It was smart for them.
They're
going to
get booted in the first round by somebody.
But the losing six games is going to be a fun six.
But it'll be a tough six games, though, right?
Tough six games. You wonder, all right, what, if they can add one player this offseason, then Luka can get into the second round and look out.
By the way, they still got to bring Kristaps in, so...
All right. You know, baby steps here. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget, subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network, Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes, and don't forget Michelle Beadle's excellent podcast, What Did I Miss? For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time right here on the Athletic Kings NBA are still Show alive. Podcast.
The Kings are still alive!
I think it taking a Marlo away or whatever Jay wanted to go to.
I can't believe he chose to die on the podcast.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.